WJSF Radio is climbing to new heights, and we need your support. Fund Drive launches next week, and your donations will help us rise higher and reach further.
So we just listened to, oh my God, When You Sleep from Loveless, one of my favorite albums of all time. Okay. But then right after that, I played a PSA because at CHSF we have to play at least one PSA an hour.
Yeah, and we're doing our Fun Drive fundraiser help put up the new radio tower.
Yep, and yeah, the Fun Drive is starting next week. It'll be running from November 3rd to November 9th. And yeah, the donations go into the tower that we are repairing, and you know, we are currently replacing, and so all the donations and the fundraising is meant for that.
But some of you might have heard a familiar voice in that PSA, my voice. And the first thing, so again, I like to help Priyansh with this kind of stuff. I'll come in and record a PSA. I've done theater before, I've done a little bit of acting, I've sung opera. I'm okay with my voice being out there, but do I really sound like that? That was my first thought. That's what I sound like?
You sound a little nervous.
I was trying to be gentle.
I'm trying to be nice about it. It was a good PSA. No, genuinely was. It's just like, yeah, maybe you definitely sound more confident on air than you did in a PSA.
I would hope so.
Yeah. But it was good. It felt like documentary narration kind of vocals, which was...
Got it. All right.
Yeah. Anyways, okay, what did you think of that song?
Before we do that, when I saw you navigating to that song, what was the name of that playlist that you went
one?
To? It was like when you...
I have so many fun playlists.
Something about when you're new to shoegaze.
My intro to shoegaze playlist, I...
Had a really funny name.
When you're new to shoegaze, I think. Wait, hold on. We're going to look it up. But tell me about your thoughts on that in the meantime.
I feel that, so we were talking about shoegaze before the show started, and you know, and then like Lynn was talking about how, you know, it's like a big wall of sound, and you know, like especially with the help of reverb and delays, and and I definitely could see that, like even like the vocals were also like dipped in reverb. It was not just the electric guitar, and it was also the snare, and also the vocals, like just like, and it created that surrounding feeling which you usually hear in trance music, but because like trance music also makes heavy use of those reverbs and those luscious reverbs and stuff. So. But in this case, it was like being applied to a completely, you know, different genre of music and different instruments, not electronic, and, you know, yeah.
Yeah, it definitely, but like, I think that is like a quintessential shoegaze example, and we're going to be talking about that a little bit in my shoegaze classics episode. But did you enjoy it?
First of all, yes, I did enjoy it. That was a very good listening experience. I really enjoyed the song. It caught me a little bit off guard because, again, my only understanding of shoegaze as a concept was just, quote, wall of sound.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of pedals, wall of sound.
Yeah.
And my experience with pedaled music comes very heavily from metal and rock. I do play in a small metal band with a friend of mine.
What is the name of the band? Plug yourself.
We're not public yet. We don't have anything out yet.
Yeah.
We're still workshopping names. It's very much in its infancy. But when we have something to plug, we'll plug ourselves.
Well, at CHSF, we have a list of like band names that people come up with, and there's some good ones out there. One that I contributed was Live, Laugh, Love, Lobotomy. and then like I saw another one up
poignant
there, yeah. Very another one up there was Members of Parliament.
yeah
which
that's
is very relevant,
topical.
I think one that I wrote, because like, at tabling events we often like leave those out too, and we get some interesting ones, but one that I wrote down was Twink Death.
ooh that is,
yeah,
that's a powerful name.
It was, yeah. I haven't had a Twink Death yet. I feel like I'm still in my Twink era.
I experienced my Twink Death back in 2017, probably, I would argue.
Can you tell me what Hoobastank means?
What?
Hoobastank.
What is that?
The band, you know, which wrote, like, The Reason, if you know the song.
Oh, No, I don't.
I don't think we get paid enough to explain.
Okay. I don't get paid for this.
That was a very weird band name. You know, one of the weird band names that I've heard. No disrespect to the band. They make good music. The vocalist is spot on, you know.
Speaking of good music,
Who was Stank?
No, I did want to talk a little bit more about this track. I wrote down some keywords. Mm-hmm. When it came to the song, the three things that came to my mind specifically were soft, fuzzy, and full. I took away from this. Soft, because nothing was necessarily peaking, nothing was there to really capture your attention, as opposed to like a lot of other popular music. I know I find a lot of stuff online that is really sort of EDM-y or trappy, and it has highs and lows to it that are intentional and purposeful, that are trying to get your attention or move you with a beat, right? This sort of has a more intrinsic beat quality to it, that kind of you're there and it just brings you along gently.
It's abstract and it's very much about like an experience.
Exactly.
Rather than, do you see, like, okay, I was supposed to talk about grunge gaze today, which is a fusion between grunge and shoegaze, and like it's kind of like this whole umbrella of like heavy shoegaze, which includes like punk gaze, which includes some variations of Midwest emo. Like, I'm thinking like Tidal Fight. I would call them punk gaze, but also call them Midwest emo. Anyways, that I feel like is a genre that I would more say aligns with some elements of metal and like grunge and like shoegaze and like fuzz. Essentially, shoegaze is kind of a post-punk subgenre. It's kind of like if we're looking at like the dichotomy of like where like post-punk goes and post-rock. It kind of like it's like a chain effect. Like we could probably make. I should write a diagram about this. I should definitely.
You should make a note of that and make that diagram and post it, because I would definitely indulge in that.
I would love to make a whole. The thing is, like, I have a view, and I'm very anti-genre purist. I like that.
Oh, I love that.
Because I love picking things apart and like seeing what they're similar. I love to make new subgenres. Like last week, I did country gaze.
I was like, whoa, what's that?
You guys,
damn,
like, that was wild. I was so committed to that for that one. I was like wearing a cowboy hat and overalls. But it's interesting how like you can find like elements of shoegaze in everything.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, like you said, if you break things down to the constituent parts, you'll find a little bit of everything everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I used to play in a jazz band. I have a lot of really weird musical experiences.
Was that in North Surrey?
No. Well, I did play in the North Surrey Jazz Band, mm-hmm. Yes. But
we both went to the same high school, but 4 years apart.
Three years? 2016.
So 2019.
Yeah, so...
Three years.
Call it three.
We were in school at the same time, though.
Call it three. It's three.
So, yeah, call it what it is.
Yeah.
Three. Is there a problem? I don't think there's a problem. Anyway, when I graduated, for reasons that we don't necessarily need to mention, I spent a little time at KPU, not in classes, but volunteering with their Wind Symphony Orchestra and their jazz band.
Wow.
And I remember hearing one of the clarinet players just kind of offhandedly say when I joined, because I was their rhythm guitarist.
Right.
I joined and he's like,
shout out rhythm guitar.
He said, though, are you going to be okay with this? What do brown people know about swing? And I'm like,
what?
And I know at the time, you know, I didn't really take it like as deep as some people would have wanted me to, but it made me think, like, what do brown people know about swing? And then it clicks in my head, the entire genre of Bhangra music is swung. It's not straight eights, it's not straight quarters. The entire genre is just swinging the drums.
I would love to hear about if there's a Bhangra gaze.
Oh my goodness.
Can you imagine? Well, I'm...
We were having a little bit of a conversation about this previously, before this started. Probably like 20 minutes before we committed to the Weezer bit, actually.
Weezer?
Weedus bit. Sorry. See, I'm not the only one who's suffering right now. No, but we were having... We were having a little bit of a talk about, like, when you described... shoegaze as like a wall of sound, The way I was sort of thinking about it is like it's multiple sounds that blend together, are continuous, almost sort of trancey. And so to me, I was thinking of like Indian classical music, something right. with like a soft constant tabla beat, a sitar in the background, and someone singing like a ghazal on top or like alap or something. So I'm thinking, would that be like, again, if you break it down to its constituent parts, is that shoegaze? I mean, they're not staring at their shoes.
They're not,
but
there's certain...
Actually, they
they're not using
are.
Pedals.
Well, it's not necessarily about the equipment always, it's about the sound.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so while the quality of the sound isn't the same, I would argue that the way the sound is being used definitely does.
I'm just looking at Reddit right now, so I looked up, because I'm like, Bhangra gaze is definitely not something, that's something we could definitely like call a genre.
We can make it a thing.
We can make it a thing, but there are Indian shoegaze bands, so we'll definitely check this out later.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe. India has a very thriving music scene, as I've only recently been turned on to by my buddy Priyansh.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Interesting.
But like, anyway, kind of looping back around, all this was when I described shoegaze as soft.
Talking about shoegaze as soft.
The next word I used was fuzzy, and I don't want to say this disrespectfully because everything has like the sort of fuzz, the reverb on it, but like in a way that sort of makes the edges of the sound waves blend upward and downward into the other instruments or parts that go into it. Like when the vocals first came in, I thought that was the guitar.
Yeah, that's the thing. That is exactly a great
and like it was surprising. It carried me forward in the music in a way I wasn't expecting.
The thing with grunge gaze, heavy shoegaze, it's quite the opposite. It's very like it is heavy. You think of like okay, so I was gonna talk today about bands that we would call heavy shoegaze, grunge gaze. Some prominent examples would be Smashing Pumpkins. Mm-hmm. I don't like Smashing Pumpkins. I do. Okay, I do. I really love Melancholy is not my favorite, but I really do love Siamese Dream. I love the tones on Siamese Dream. I like. I try to replicate some of those tones, but I really just don't like Billy Corgan. I think he's annoying. He's just like, and he's bald. He's annoying. And he's
okay.
Bald.
I mean, as someone who has rocked the bald look for many a month at a time. You know,
oh my God.
Were you bald in high school?
I was not bald in high school. In fact, I was quite the opposite of bald in high school. I had a lot of hair back then.
Would you have long hair?
Not long, but it sort of started becoming an afro.
Right.
At multiple times. Yeah.
But what was I saying? Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. So prominent grunge fans. Hum. I love Hum so much. They're probably one of my favorite bands. Probably one of my favorite albums of all time is Downward is Heavenward. And then like Deftones is an example of a grunge gaze band.
Okay.
So Deftones are really popular right now, and I was going to use them as an example of a more popular band. Because we were going to talk about Deftones. We were going to talk about Were. Were and Nothing are two bands that were kind of the forefront of the like new gaze, grunge gaze revival kind of bands. Because like your prominent like 90s like grunge gaze bands, like I said, Hum, Smashing Pumpkins, and Deftones. And there's been kind of like a resurgence in that recently. And I know there was like this one artist that was saying something about how all shoegaze kind of sounds the same now. And like we should go back to like kind of our like post-punk roots.
Okay, but then speaking about like how you're not a music purist, that is just a purist argument.
It is a purist argument, and that's what I'm coming back to, is that, yeah, I feel like there are a lot of bands that sound like the grunge gaze band. We're going to do grunge gaze next week, okay? Like I was very excited about this episode because it's my primary area of shoegaze interest. I feel like I like really, really heavy sounds. There's more, the grunge aspect, there's more grit to it. There's more like emotional content. Like shoegaze, I would say, is emotional, but kind of in like a washed out, like passive kind of way. Grunge gaze is meant to kind of like carry a certain feeling across. Like there's like still the elements of, and we'll maybe we can play a grunge gaze song as well. Or just think of like a Deftones song. Like there's a lot of screaming. There's like Deftones is an interesting example because obviously there's elements like emo as well. Mm-hmm. But there's a certain dreaminess to it as well. Like there's a certain like, I think like Tina Marina has like really like very delicate almost vocals, and then he just goes
So speaking of the dreaminess, the last thing I wanted to talk about was how I described the song as full.
It's
because
full.
I know that there's like the use of like negative space or like silences or even like the purposeful like cutting of certain instruments in order to like get feels across, but this was very much just a wall of sound. It was I would say it's like very consistent in how much you are hearing at a time. And that provided a really nice experience. Like, I don't even really know how else to describe it. It was just a very pleasant listening experience.
Like Mongolian throat singing?
Oh, yes, yes, yes. There's this one from great. Have you heard of that Bulgarian women's choir? Okay, my friend Julia. Shout out Julia. She's going to be on the show in a few weeks.
We're Julia, doing, we love you.
Aw, I'll tell her. She's sick right now. Get well soon, Julia. We're doing a Cocteau Twins deep dive. Have you listened to Cocteau Twins before?
I have not.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'll send you some Cocteau Twins. Cocteau Twins please. Is not shoegaze. Cocteau Twins are dream pop, but there definitely is a certain, like, I would not say wall of sound, because wall of sound is kind of like something that engulfs you a bit, if that makes sense.
No, this was very much engulfing. Yeah, it was a hug. This was a hug to my ears. Yes. I'm not just talking about the
beautiful
headphones.
That's such a beautiful way to... Yeah. Anyways, where was I going with that? Cocteau Twins.
Julia, Cocteau Twins.
Julia, Cocteau Twins. Yes, shout out, Julia. We're going to do an episode, a deep dive about Cocteau Twins, and that's going to be great. We love deep dives here. Honestly, because I just started doing my show again recently after taking a few months off, I thought about, like, what do I love doing most? Committing to the bit, that's one thing, but also just like yapping about things over and over and over again and making you guys listen to really loud things, but also just yapping about it. And so, yeah. Anyways, before we're almost at the end of the hour here, we're going to watch the Teenage Dirtbag music video and we're going to report back. And
yes, please.
Yeah.
I almost forgot about that.
We have to stay on track. We got to stay committed to the bit.
Yeah.
So this really is the Teenage Dirtbag episode.
This is the episode. Okay. Yeah. This is what it's going to be called.
The Teenage Dirtbag.
All right, that was an Weedus experience. With Teenage Dirtbag. What did we think?
That was an experience. I really like how it was all a dream because they touched on every stereotypical high school loser versus jock for the hot girl trope all at once.
Yeah. It's apparently a clip from a movie, actually.
He should have been sent to the principal's office.
Yeah.
It felt so unjust.
Especially the fact that the dick of a boyfriend who drove his car, not only did he hit what I can only assume is the protagonist's bike, but then he also left his car there on what I can only assume is like a walkway into the school. Like, that's
things they do for the music video, you know? Yeah. I think it was Warner Music.
I can believe that.
Yeah. No defamation or anything. They're pretty cool, you know, just like...
How do we feel after... Because I don't think I've seen that music video in a good 10 years. Like, how do we feel, like, spiritually after seeing that?
You know what? I can see why the younger generation really latches onto it. Because at the time, like, that is all your life. Your entire life experience is just up until that point. The smallest decisions, the smallest incidents... They matter a lot. So, you know, something as small as someone shoving you in the hallway, maybe even by accident, something as small as someone giving you a weird look, that matters a lot more because that statistically makes up a larger portion of your life. But as well, you don't really have much else going on. Emotions are high, tempers are high, and school is your entire life.
Yes.
So
at that point in your life, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. So I can see why a lot of people would latch onto that, and a lot of people can, I would say, empathize.
We
with
went
that
to
situation.
The same high school. Like, I feel like
we just discovered that.
We just discovered that. It's crazy. I think, like, my experience. Did I feel like a teenage dirtbag at our school? I don't know if I did. I feel like there was definitely social hierarchies.
Oh, 100%.
And honestly, all the popular kids were really annoying. And just like after high school, I don't know. I don't know how you felt. How you felt about? Have you interacted with?
I do. a lot of people still regularly. But I would say that's because I had a really different high school experience. I sort of popped in about halfway through ninth grade, and, you know, not many people were kind of expecting me to stay there. So for that first
half
a year,
I
transferred from South Point Academy.
Oh, you're from South Point?
Oh my goodness, do you know South Point?
Of course I know South
Point. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's a private school.
Down in Tawasin.
I know people that went there.
Small world. But yeah, I transferred in halfway through the year, and so that first kind of half year was a bit transient. People weren't really expecting me to stay. A lot of people didn't learn my name. They just called me Cheeseburger, which is kind of rude because they say you are what you eat, but I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat cheeseburgers.
Vegetarian cheeseburger. Who's saying that it included meat? You know, all we know is that it's cheese. Like, we don't know for sure if they meant it in that way.
Yeah, and then when I showed up again at the end of the year, they're like, oh, hey, it's you. You're back. What's your name? I'm like, I don't think you bothered to learn it in the first place. What's the point? And so there was that kind of outsiderness going into it. But then at the same time, I think you can also agree with this, the communities that I chose to immerse myself in, the theater and the band specifically, they were definitely...
Nerds.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the nerds. They were definitely more welcoming and more open. Not necessarily because it's like, oh, we don't have enough people. We need to, you know, fill our ranks. But just genuinely because those communities... have a lot of, I guess, love for the game to commit. I guess you can say they really are committed to the bit.
They are, and that's the thing. Is like, I feel like I don't talk to anyone from high school. I have two friends I talk to. I feel like I just really didn't resonate with a lot of people. That's cool because I was just so forlorn. Nobody understands me. I listen to shoegaze.
Yeah, you know what, shoegaze really socially isolate you, I guess. You're hearing a first-hand account.
I feel like growing up in Surrey, I live in East Van now. Mm-hmm. I've not lived in Surrey for a long time. I lived in Kelowna very briefly, and I felt like I've gone through so much culture shock over the years. I've gone from going to high school in Surrey and almost feeling like repressed artistically, but also as like a queer and like non-binary person. And also feeling like going to Kelowna and like hear all these white people all of a sudden. Because like obviously our high school was not very white at all. And like I feel like really privileged that I grew up around a lot of people of color, because I feel like had I grown up in Kelowna, I think my worldview would be so different.
Yeah, I see that. I don't think I could imagine myself ever growing up in a community like that, because I am Indian. My parents probably would not have felt comfortable settling in that kind of a situation.
That's awesome.
Especially because community is such an important thing. And so I feel like I kind of, in a way, carried that forward. And, like, I still have a lot of close friends from high school who I talk to regularly who, like, it's none of it's really that stereotype of people who peak in high school and then, like, just go downhill. All of my friends from high school, we are still kind of leveling up. We're not really sure what our footing, but we're making things happen and we're going places. And it's a lot more comfortable than it is. It's not really awkward. I'm still on good terms with a lot of people from high school. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm on bad terms with anybody.
That's great.
But it's not that I actively go out and talk to people all the time. If I see someone from high school, it's just chill. That's just what it is.
I feel like I kind of shock people because I looked very different. And I think I've also been heavily tattooed since I was like 18, 19 years old. And so I stepped out quite a bit. And I feel like I've just had a lot of different experiences that maybe my peers didn't, and so I feel like there was less common ground, and I've just kind of drifted apart from people. But then I have some people I talk to, like, yeah, my two friends that are, like, I feel like on the same wavelength. Yeah, but,
Yeah, and again, with all this different experience, you're bound to come into, like, different...
Yeah.
I guess just preferences all around, like, we're expressing it through our discussion of music, right? And
absolutely.
So... It's funny that, like, we have all these different experiences and they make us so unique as individuals. And that's, you know, part of the human experience. No two people are ever going to experience even the same event the same way. But I like how we can all find common ground and common understanding on things like Teenage Dirtbag.
Yeah, what a great note to end on. Thank you so much to Priyansh and to Rajan for joining us. My name is Lynn. You're tuned in to CJSF 90.1 FM. We're broadcasting live from Burnaby Mountain, BC. And yeah, I hope you guys have a great day, and I hope that you will all tap into your inner teenage dirtbag.
Baby.
And yeah, stay tuned for this PSA, and up next, listen to Bitcoover.
A show about the link between punk rock and mental health, hosted by me, Jason Schurz. I've been part of the music scene for more than 30 years. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and my whole life was thrown sideways. As part of my recovery, I've slowly returned to the music that I love. Join me and my resilient guests for no-holds-barred conversations right here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Simon Fraser University, Thursdays at 12:30 a.m. And until then, take care and be well.
Good evening.